While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Please be seated. Today marks 40 of the 50 days of the Easter season. We are still proclaiming, Alleluia, the Lord is risen, and yet, if we're honest, the feast of the Ascension can feel a little strange, because for many people, the feast of the Ascension passes by almost unnoticed. The Ascension is something we affirm in the Nicene Creed, but don't spend very much time thinking or talking about on a regular basis. We know Jesus ascended into heaven. We know he sits at the right hand of God. We know he will come again. But what does the Ascension mean for us? What is it? Maybe part of why Ascension can feel so difficult for many is because it asks us to sit in the feeling of absence. The disciples had spent years walking with Jesus, listening to him teach, watching him heal. They ate with him. They loved him. Even after the resurrection, during those 40 days together, they were once again able to see him, to hear his voice, to be in his physical presence. And then today, once again, Jesus leaves them. The Ascension is not just something that is triumphant to celebrate and to lift up. It speaks to a very tender moment. Imagine for yourself standing there watching the person who changed your life completely disappear from your sight. Imagine wanting just a few more minutes, just one more conversation, one more reassurance that the future will turn out okay. The disciples knew from their own experience the resurrection was real. But just like us, they were also still very human. And they knew the ache of letting go. But unlike the ache of letting go after the crucifixion, the disciples now were no longer ruled by fear. Something inside of them had changed. Their faith in Jesus had deepened, and their love for one another had grown beyond anything they could ever imagine. Slowly, they began to trust that even if Jesus was no longer physically beside them, he would not abandon them. And this is the great paradox, if we want to use that word, of the Ascension. Jesus doesn't leave the world behind. Instead, he becomes present in a new and way that almost doesn't even make sense. No longer confined to one place, one town, one body standing in one moment of history. Christ is now present wherever the Spirit moves, wherever she blows. Christ is now there. We often think, I think, presence only counts if it's physical, if it's visible, and if we're honest, if it's immediate, right? When we need someone, we want them to come now. But so much of the deepest love I think many people experience in their life continues through this feeling of absence. A loved one who has died still shapes us every day. A teacher's wisdom still guides us many, many years after we've left their classroom. Someone who once believed in us is that little tiny voice that still gives us courage long after they're no longer in our lives. The ascension reveals to us that Christ's presence is no less real simply because it's different. As Paul writes in Ephesians, Christ has been raised and exalted, filling all things, and the church has become Christ's body in the world. And that, this moment, the feast of the ascension, the day Jesus rises into heaven, it changes everything. Because while the ascension marks the completion of Jesus' earthly ministry, it also marks the true beginning of ours. The disciples finally understand that the proclamation of the gospel would no longer happen primarily through Jesus, standing before the crowds, teaching them and healing them. Now the world will encounter Jesus through them, through their courage, their compassion, through communities shaped by love instead of fear, through ordinary people who have the courage to live a resurrection life. And honestly, that is both beautiful and terrifying, at least for me, because being the body of Christ is no small thing. It is not a small task. It is a big ask, if you will. To be the church is not simply to gather together for worship or to hold a similar belief about God or the same kind of theology. It is to become witnesses to the resurrection. It is to embody the love of Christ for the sake of the world. Perhaps that calling, your calling as a disciple of Jesus, feels especially difficult now. We live in a world shaped by exhaustion, division, violence, loneliness, and fear. It's easy to believe compassion cannot compete with outrage. Easy to believe that gentleness is weakness. Easy to believe that hope is naive. And yet the church was born into a world that also knew violence and empire, uncertainty and grief. The first disciples did not change the world because they held all the cards. They changed it because they carried resurrection hope into places that had forgotten that hope was even possible at all. The disciples, I imagine, felt inadequate at times for this calling. I sometimes feel inadequate to this calling. And I imagine some of us in this room have felt at some time in our life inadequate to the calling that Jesus is asking us to live into. But even as Jesus ascends, he promised them that they would not be left alone. The Spirit would remain with them, strengthen them, guide them one step at a time. Jesus did not have an alternative plan. The disciples were the plan. You, I always do a really bad job of turning around, and all of you, each of us are the plan. Not because we're perfect and fearless, because we always know what we're doing, that I can guarantee is harshly true, but because God continues to work through people like us, ordinary people who are willing to love and serve and forgive and proclaim good news in a hurting world that just needs love. The Ascension reminds us that Christ has not abandoned the world. Christ has entrusted the world to us while remaining present with us the whole time. Like the disciples, we are not called to stand around staring up into the heavens, watching Jesus rise, but to look outward and go out into the world that God loves, carrying the hope, mercy, and resurrection life of Christ wherever we go. Amen.